chapter 12. Is it hard to believe it's 2026? Now, some of you weren't born, but I remember Y2K as though it was yesterday, you know? And some of you are like, Y2K, what is that? Ask somebody that's older. I've just read about it. And Jacob, that was too hearty of a laugh. And Luke chapter 12, but it's, I love a new year. It's, you know, every morning, I've told you this Wednesday, morning by morning, his mercies are new. And I love the turning of a calendar. It's just kind of reflection, how did 2025 go? Was it the year that we honored Jesus Christ? Because that's really, those are the eternal things that will survive the test of fire. What did we do for Christ in 2025? And by his grace, his mercy, maybe 2026, we can resolve that our 2026, by God's grace, will be more focused on Christ. And we would enjoy him. We would love him more. Title of the message this morning, The Shocking Side of Biblical Christianity. There's a shocking side. Let's read this passage and then we'll go through it. Verse 49, Jesus speaking here. He says, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, or no, but rather division. Verse 52. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower. So it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites! Ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Verse 58. When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Again, title of the message, The Shocking Side of Christianity. Let's just jump into the message. This, again, follows Jesus where he is talking about punishment prior to this. That we talked this last week that if you, and you've been blessed, you're in church, and by God's grace, we will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you die rejecting it, you will be held more accountable. That's justice. And that is, that's just hard. It's just hard. If you sit week after week, month after month, and you reject Christ, die without having truly surrendered in faith to Christ, your punishment will be more than those that don't have the same blessings as you do. It's the truth. That's a shocking side of Christianity. Now let's just jump in. Look at verse 49. Jesus says, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? Fire, this is what I believe. I believe it's fire that burns in the soul. So there are several options. What could this fire be? Typically, fire represents in the scripture, what does it represent? Judgment, right? So when the Bible typically talks about judgment, here's why I don't think that's what he's talking about, because Jesus said this in John 12. It's okay if this is not dogmatic. I'm telling you what fire I believe, and I think you'll see it in the context. Is look at John 12, 47. He said, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Jesus will be our judge one day, but that's not why he came. He came that you might be saved. You might be rescued from your sin. That's why he came. And so This fire, I think he's talking about here. Look at verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? God's judgment will happen at the great white throne judgment. If you're curious about that, later, Revelation chapter 20. You don't want to be part of that judgment. The great white throne judgment, the Bible says, is for the dead. If you're in Christ, you're alive. You already possess eternal life. You will never die, the Bible says. Now, your carcass will, but that's not the real you if you're saved. But the Bible says that the dead will be cast out of hell, and you'll stand before God, and then the ultimate place for every unbeliever is called the lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20. I don't think it's the fire of judgment. I think it's the fire that burns in the soul. Just look at verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? Let me just show you a verse that might just trigger our conversation here this morning. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah, he's called the weeping prophet, and so we went through the book of Jeremiah. I better appreciate why he's called the weeping prophet, because his life was rough, hard. He's all thankful for that today, but his life was hard. Guys, we got seats right up here. You won't interrupt me at all, so I know you're like trying to figure out where. Got the front row, man, the front row. I'm shocked. I mean, I just can't believe the front row is available. But it's all good. It's all good. So Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah says this, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me." So I want you to understand this. This is Jeremiah. He loved the Lord, but he's just being honest, and God records it. He says, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me." I'm telling you, he's like, this wasn't supposed to happen. You know, I'm telling you, it's supposed to be roses without thorns and tiptoe in the tulips. But it's not. Some people recognize that reference. "For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." Let me tell you, it is for Jeremiah, his life was hard. He wept so much because there's no written evidence of converts. You want to find a miserable Christian? You want to find a miserable preacher? It's a preacher that's not seeing people saved. It's a Christian not seeing people saved. You will then seek satisfaction in everything else. And so Jeremiah was this. He said, "Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." He said, "I'm done. You've deceived me, Lord. I will never mention his name again." He's so upset. God records this. Look at this. He says, "Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." I love this. If you're a Christian, you felt this. "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." I had to keep telling people about my great God. It's a fire in him. I want you to know this. Jesus said he was come. What did he say? He says, "I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled?" I want you to remember this. Oh, Christian, is the fire of Christ in your heart? I was reminded of something this week, and it was so helpful for me. When you hear stupid things, right, and you're like, why do people do that? It came to me, right? So I heard of some teenagers, right? Some teenagers that were, they got in trouble, and here's all they were doing. They were just knocking on doors. People would answer the door, and they'd cuss them out. You cuss out the wrong person, you'll be in trouble, right? And they'd cuss them out, right? And I was like, that's so dumb. So dumb. Why would they do that? And they'd go to the next door. Cuss them out. Why would they do that? Anybody have a thought? What was that? No, it wasn't even being videoed. It's the, no, just two of them. Two stupid teenagers. It was the thrill of sin. You know, got my heart racing. Little adrenaline rush. Oh, it's great. I mean, do you guys ever see these reports of rich people shoplifting and then find out what they stole? And you're like, I don't think it was because they wanted that. It was the thrill. Because you know what was lighting their fire? Sneaking something in from Walmart. Right? You know these teens? Like, whoa. Oh. That was fun until somebody bust your teeth out, right? But it got the juices flowing and it's good. I will tell you, that's sin will do that. Every single person in here, if you're honest, you're like, oh wow. Man, I feel that heart racing. The question is, what lights your fire? Jesus said he came to start a fire in our hearts that cannot be put out. But I know this. If you're like me, we need some gasoline, some holy gasoline put on it. Some gasoline from the Lord Jesus Christ that'll say this. I remember what it's about. And I'm not worried what people think. I'm going to go and love people enough that I'll be a little awkward and I want to tell people about Jesus because there's a fire burning in me. And I know every Christian in here, you've said this. I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name. But maybe the fire's low, but there's still this. If you're saved, you see, it's one of the telltale signs of whether you're truly born again, whether you've truly turned from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Most people that come to a Baptist church, you would probably claim that you're saved. I love this. I love honest people that say, I've not yet surrendered in faith. But I want to tell you, you're going to see from this passage, why in the world are you waiting? Because you don't take it serious. You understand that? But oh, Christian, is there a fire burning in your heart? Jesus came to light a fire under us. And I want you to ask you this question. What is it that excites you in life? What is it that drives you in life? What is it that motivates you in life? What is it that excites you in life? If you're not careful, then you might be standing at a door cussing people out. Because at least that'll get your adrenaline going. And I know we all are like, that's so dumb. That's just a dumb thing. I mean, you know, what is it that you do that God is not pleased with that lights your fire, that gets the old heart racing? You understand this. People, we sin. And the sin is never as satisfying as the buildup. Because we know what's right and wrong, and we're like, oh, I got to have that. I've got to do that. And then after you get it, do it, you're like, I wasn't all that. And so then you go to the next level. And you have to keep going to the next level. It sounds like drug addiction, right? That first hit, they're like, oh, this is so amazing. And they're looking for that hit the rest of their life, and it never happens again. Just looking for a rush. Just looking for a thrill. You see, in the world, they keep looking. But what about you, old Christian? Did we come to church just to check the box on Sunday morning, see you in 7 days? Or is Jesus Christ truly the fire that's burning in your soul? Is he the reason why you're living? I be honest with yourself. Are you truly excited about Christ? That it's not, I'm not worried what people think. And when I'm by myself, what I think about, what I do, is Christ your motivation? You see, I want all the hypocrites to attend church. I want all the people struggling. You're in the exact right place if you're sitting there and you're uncomfortable right now because you know what's exciting you is sin and not Christ. Oh, I'm glad you're here this morning because you need to make it right. I need to make it right. I need to ask this. Is Christ what is lighting the fire of my heart? Because that's what he came to do. Fire that burns in the soul. I think that's the fire he came to light. And I want God. I will tell you this. I don't want to die having anything left in the tank. I want to die being excited about Jesus Christ. And there's no age limit about it. I want Christ, my last breath. I want to be excited about Jesus Christ, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And I'm not there. I want to be there. I want the fire of my heart to be one thing, and Christ alone. I know this. Every true Christian in here, you do too. But what's the problem? Distraction. I want to show you the fire that burns. And I want to show you that it was. I can show you Psalm 39 says the same thing. For sake of time, I'll go through it quickly, but I won't. Just look at this. Same thing as Jeremiah. It says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. It's like, I found out how bad the tongue is. And so he says, I will keep my mouth with the bridle while the wicked is before me. I'm so worried about messing up, I'm not going to say anything. I've heard that excuse. I was dumb with silence. I didn't speak. Probably both dumb intelligently. And I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue. You see, if you're lost this morning, there's no fire for Christ. But if you're saved this morning, at least this. Are you at least convicted that the fire is just some embers? Just put a little oxygen to that fire and ask God that by His grace you might be on fire for Him. You know, I could have asked, set my soul afire. That's why I love that song. Set my soul afire, Lord, right? That I might reach the lost. It's a great song. It's a great song. Do you have a fire in you for Jesus Christ? Easy to say yes, but what's the proof? Because there's all kinds of proof when a fire has come through, right? You can see it. It's like, whoa. If you're on fire for Christ, it's not for this, but people will know it. People will know it. You can tell me, yeah, I'm on fire. It's right here, Pastor. You don't know. No, I'll see it. I'll see the fire. Second thought is, it's brought about through the suffering of Christ. Look at verse 50. I just led the flow. In 49, Jesus says, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And baptism is just, I've got something I've got to immerse in. It's going to cover me. It's going to surround me. He says, I've got a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? I want you to understand this. It's brought about through the suffering of Christ. How am I straitened? It's not a term that we do today, but I'm going to try to give you just a picture that you might, you know, imagine this. If you're ironing, right? You're ironing, it's to straighten it, and you're pressing down, right? The weight of the iron is heavier. You're pressing down. He is pressed. That he's straightened. It's like, you know, you get a bad piece of lumber, Zach, and you want to get it straightened. You got to get it wet. You got pressure. You just throw it away, probably, right? Yeah, or we bring it to Hope and we'll repurpose it. And it is not that Zach does that. I'm just, hey, you know, you got any old wood? But it's to be straightened. He was pressed. You see, remember I told you the title of the message is The Shocking Side of Biblical Christianity. This is what people don't really want to talk about. Jesus was mutilated and he suffered eternal damnation for every single soul in this room. It's beyond comprehension. And it's the Father that unleashed the punishment onto Christ. And from a human perspective, he was beaten, he was scourged, crown of thorns, spear in his side, nails in his feet, nails in his hands, and he suffered. And it's more than we can imagine, because remember when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, you know, Father, take this cup from me. Just show you a few verses here. I'll show you that. But the fire burns because of the suffering of Christ. Have you truly appreciated the suffering of Christ? If we forget about the suffering of Christ, we will forget about our privilege. It's just the greatest honor in the world that I get to speak of the King, that I get to represent the King. And I'm not speaking as a pastor. I'm speaking as a child of God, born again. He saved me. He went through all this for me. Will I suffer for Him? But just look at this. It's 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He bore our sins in his body. And then John 12:27, now is my soul troubled. This is when he's in the garden. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. It is, and he would later say, not my will but thine. He said these similar phrases three times. We have no true grasp of what Christ suffered. Look at just verse 50 again. I want you to grasp this. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it be accomplished. I love Jesus here. So everything is perfect that he does. But this verse 50 feels like a preacher that is saying, I've come to start a fire. And then in his own heart he goes, because he can't get away from the mission of why he came. He came and he was speaking to this group. Jesus doesn't speak to him about himself like this very often. He's like, I came to start a fire. And who am I if it be started already? He's feeling the press. I have a baptism to be baptized with. I'm being straightened right now. It's pressing on me. I love the song. You've heard me reference it before. It was, for me he died. For me he cried. While Jesus was living, he was being pressed for me. This isn't a fairy tale. This is real. This is true. You understand this. He had to be butchered. He had to die. He had to take your eternal damnation, or you and I couldn't go to heaven. That's the reality. You and I are pathetic losers that have nothing good about us. That's the truth of the Bible. And boy, does the world not like that, huh? It's the truth of biblical Christianity. There is nothing about you that'll ever get you to heaven. There's not one scintilla in you that pleases God outside of Jesus Christ. That's the truth of the Bible. That's why he had to suffer, because there was no other option. It wasn't you and Jesus. It was him alone. Do we appreciate that? Have we lost the fire? Have we lost the enthusiasm? It's if we've forgotten what Jesus did for us. That's how we'll forget, because we've taken our eyes off of Christ and we've lost the fire. We've lost the passion. I'm telling you, Fairfield is dying and going to hell because we've lost the fire. I want to be known as a loving church, as a kind church, but a church that says this: we love you so much that you're in trouble. I'm not with it. I'm preaching to myself. If you can only understand this, I want the fire to burn like I'm preaching this morning. I want it to burn in my heart. I want it to be my heartbeat. I want to be so enamored with Christ and what he has done for me, I cannot get over it. I want it to be as though I was saved last night, because those of you that are saved more recently, I pray that the fire is burning strong. I've been saved over 50 years, and the fire has burned better at moments in my life. You know what that's called? Sin. It's called ingratitude. It's called unthankfulness. Because it was for me he died. For me he cried. There's nothing better. Do you understand this? I've not told you anything new today, but man, I love telling you about this. It's what will make your life different and make my life different, and it never gets old. How come it gets old to us and we don't want to tell people? It's because the fire's not burning. We've forgotten. We've forgotten that he was straightened. He was pressed. So that I don't have to be damned. But then he says this. This is shocking. It results in division among loved ones. Look at this. He says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. Now the angels, when Jesus warns, say, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Because it won't last if you trust in him. That's understand, God is a God of peace. What's he talking about, though, is if you really believe in Jesus, there's going to be division where it matters most. Oh, with loved ones. I do love this, right? You notice it doesn't say between husband and wife, and I'm just going to give you a real quick one here, because, oh, Christian, you should only marry a Christian. Now, some of you, you got saved after you were married. You stay married. You love your spouse. But you know this. Some of you, if you're saved, you're married to a lost spouse, you feel the division, right? There's no place closer to home. But let me just tell you this. All of you that are unmarried out there, you only should marry a believer, or you will find the division, and it will be heavy. But I'll tell you, he says, mother and daughter and son and father, there's going to be that conflict because the fire burns in you and it doesn't burn in them. And what you need to do is love them. That doesn't give you an excuse to be a jerk. The division should not be because of your spirit, my spirit. The division should not be because I'm obnoxious. I need to love them, and I need to be wise, and I need to share Christ, because that's all that matters. That's all I want to talk about. But he came to bring division among loved ones. Let's just read it again, because I want you to see this. Verse 51, suppose ye that I come to give peace on earth? I tell you, no, but rather division. What? For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Because Christians are different. Christians will stand up for Christ in a loving way, and it's going to cause division. Oh, parent, if you're doing what's right, your kids have to do what's right. No such thing. Well, they wouldn't come. I don't know. Now, I recently told someone, and I mean this, don't physically accost your kids to get them here. I'm not suggesting that, so don't go there. There are other options, but I'm not going to lay them out here. I don't know what they are. I praise the Lord my kids never tried that. But once your kids get that, guess what? You're going to have division. Understand that? And I'm encouraged by this. Jesus doesn't pull the punches so that you're shocked. And none of us can claim like Jeremiah, you've deceived me. I think Jeremiah was wrong anyway. God never deceives anybody. And so I want you to know this. It's for you and I, he says this. Oh, you surrender in faith to Christ, you're going to have problems. You're going to have division. Your family's not going to like it. Look at Alex. I was glad. I was so thrilled you had friends come. No family? Not a one. Not a person from it. So they knew you were getting baptized. Division. You love them. Okay? And I know. You just be gentle. You love them. They're watching you. They want you to be just like them and say, it's no different. You just got a different religion of choice. No, it's Jesus Christ, and he changes, right? We don't become perfect, and you be quick to apologize, but you saw the division right there, did you not? And I love this. God's given you a sweet spirit about it. It's not exciting, is it? Do you love that? How honest the Lord is, though? Don't you love that? He's like, don't you be surprised when you stand up and you live for Jesus and that fire burns, it's going to cause division. And if you live, I'm trying to keep the peace, just keep the peace, you'll be useless for Christ. I'm not saying be a jerk. I'm just saying this. There's a fire. And when that fire burns, there'll be division. That's the truth of God's word. Just let me show you just a couple quick verses. Matthew chapter 10, it's in this same context. Jesus says this, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. You're those that are against you. You know, I think some, listen, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. You see this? He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It's this. Jesus doesn't say don't love your family. But I will tell you this. He gives the order. It's him first. And you and I are going to have to fight that till our grave. Somebody told me the other day, they said, oh, I know if somebody came up with a gun, you would gladly let them shoot your head out. I've said, I don't know that. I said, I'd want to be right here, my friend. I'd probably be like, ah, you know, and running. Who knows? We can't know that, right? I will tell you this. If I told you I love Jesus more than my family, man, how do I know that? I want to. But I have a lot of work to do. I have a lot of work to do. I can't boldly proclaim that. I just love this. That's the goal. And if when I love Jesus, my family benefits. When I love Jesus, my wife will benefit. When I love Jesus, my son will benefit. When I love Jesus, my grandkids will benefit. Oh, I've got news. There are two in the oven. I've got five coming by 2026. Just found out that news. And so I think, do I have permission to say that? I don't, but so I didn't name all the names, right? And so I thought I did. Definitely not. All right, don't be posting on Facebook or calling anybody from North Carolina, because this is in case you're wondering where they're at. And so I'm pretty excited. Pretty excited about, I've got seven grandkids, two already in heaven. So I'll have five in 2026. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is better. I will tell you, what rivals anything in life are grandkids. I'll just tell you, it is amazing. Callum is now saying Papa, and it is, he doesn't say Mimi. Loving that. He's got the order right. Jesus, then Papa, and then Mimi. Love family. God's pro family. Jesus is better. I love we've got good widows in our church. Being a widow is hard. I love this, though. I've watched our widows, Sister Carla, my mother-in-law, and others, and it's they serve the Lord. It's hard. Lana, it's hard. And in some days, it's hard to realize that Jesus is better when it's hard, but I love this, faithfulness. I'll show you just a couple quick verses. Jesus himself knew what it was like to be rejected by his family. John 7. Here's what it was. Now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers and sisters, just newsflash, Jesus had brothers and sisters. Mary was not a perpetual virgin. The Bible is clear about that. So if that's news to you, I'll show you in the scriptures. Brothers and sisters, which that Greek word means from the same womb. It wasn't cousins, just so you know. His brethren, therefore, said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the work that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. His brothers and sisters didn't believe in him. By the scriptural evidence, there was no convert in his family outside of Mary and Joseph. Until after his resurrection. So I want you to see this. Then Jesus says, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. He says, My time's not come. His time, that pressing, that straightening him to go to cross, I believe that's what he's dealing with. But your time is always ready. I believe this. He said, It's always time for you to repent. It's always time for you to turn. It's always time for you to trust in Jesus Christ. Your time is always ready. But he said this, The world cannot hate you because his brothers and sisters were lost. The world loves its own. The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. If you stand up for Jesus, the world's going to hate you. You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of Jesus. One more passage here. John 15 reiterates the love. It says this, If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I love this. The world hates you, it's because they hate Jesus. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. If your goal is not to have division, and your goal is just to get along with everybody, and I want to get along with everybody, we ought to have peace with everybody, but not at the sacrifice of us caring enough to share the truth. The fire that burns will overcome that, but is the fire burning? You see, remember the title of the message, The Shocking Side of Biblical Christianity? It's Jesus came to bring division, because when you're saved, it'll be distinctively different from those that are religious. A lot of religious people in America. The distinction between a religious person, a good religious person, and a truly born again, saved person is the fire, and their focus is Christ. Verses 54 to 57, we can judge temporal warnings, but not eternal warnings. Look at this. If Jesus were in Cincinnati, I don't think he could have said this. Look at verse 54. And he said also to the people, When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, There cometh a shower, and so it is. I have told you this before. I think we have the worst meteorologist in the United States of America. And it's like, well, we're not sure. It might be blizzard or bright and sunny. Something about the valley that we're in the Cincinnati area or something. Either that or we literally do get the guys that, you know, D-minus past meteorology. And, I mean, you know, I told you this before. I'm in Florida, right? If I have vacations in Florida and they're like, tomorrow it'll rain beginning at 11:14. It'll finish at 11:23. I'm like, whoa. I took advantage of that, right? So I'm just going to tell you this, Disney Hopper Pass. I'm just going to tell you. So it's a freebie. Just mark this down. You've got this is a little temporal benefit, the Disney Hopper Pass, right? So if you're at the water park, right? If you go to the water park, and I know it's, I went to the water park. So if you're at the water park and it rains, a thunderstorm between 11 and 2, you get a rain check. I use those meteorologists. And so it's like, I would literally be standing in line before the window opened. You know, I did find this. You can't get a rain check on a rain check. And so, all right. But neither here nor there. Let's get back to the text. Oh, we can tell if it's raining, going to snow, going to be sunny. And when I became a pastor, I look at the weather more on Wednesdays and Sundays, Saturdays as well. But he said, look at this, verse 54. When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat. And it cometh to pass. Oh, you hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. And how is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge you not what is right? It's amazing that we'll be able to see all the signs, and yet we don't realize Jesus is coming soon. I'm going to show you real quickly Matthew 24. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Yeah? I kind of had to Google it. That we took over Venezuela? What in the world? Okay, I mean, I'm just like, what? Wars and rumors of wars? I know. I literally thought it was a joke when I heard about it, and I was like, Googled it, and I was like, oh, are you kidding me? Anyway, I'm not trying to get wars and rumors of wars in your backyard. Okay, and we aren't ready for the return of Christ. He's coming. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Okay, that shouldn't trouble us. So Christians, it should motivate us. The fire should burn brighter. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places, different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. It's just the start. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. It's coming to a city near you. Oh, we're not far, Christians. For us being persecuted directly, folks, the end is near. We ought to be more diligent, more excited about Christ coming again, but more concerned about souls. And he said, and then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Kids are going to turn some parents in here if you talk about Jesus. It's coming. Happens all over the world today. We're less than 5% of the world's population, and we're like, we're the world. Right? Oh, let me tell you, it happens all over the place. You don't hold the line, you're arrested. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And here's what I believe this. Our love has waxed cold. What's the opposite of a fire? It's cold. Is the fire burning? It's cold. Just worried about me, my, and mine, my bills, my kids, my life. It's all that matters. Not according to Jesus. But we bought into the lie. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You seek God first without expectations. He'll take care of it. You seek God first. That's the key. The key. I want to show you just quickly, same passage. But of that day, when Jesus were our, knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I believe that as the days of Noah were, it's the level of sin that was so bad that God said, I am obligated to bring judgment. He says they were marrying and giving in marriage and eating and drinking as though everything will be fine. carrying on just like no big deal. Then the flood came. Well, you understand, when the flood came, it wasn't just 40 days of rain. It did. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. But water from beneath. Too late. It's not like it's like raining. I'm going to go see Noah here. Noah. No. Waters from beneath, waters from above. It was a deluge. And then it rained 40 days and 40 nights. Everybody was shocked. Oh, Christian, the sad part is I think we'll be shocked when Jesus comes back. Our love has waxed cold. We can tell if it's going to rain, if it's going to snow, if it's going to be cold. But we are so cold-hearted that we can't tell. It's really close. It's really close. That ought to burn in our hearts and have us pursue souls. And then I'm going to finish with this. Remember the message, the shocking side of biblical Christianity. I'm just preaching the next verse. Reconcile with God before you face him as judge. That's the final thought. Reconcile with God before you face him as judge. I'm going to show you in verse 58 and 59. That's what it's all about. Look at verse 58. Jesus is laying out just some awesome truths here. I came to start a fire. And he finishes with, reconcile, or you'll be part of the fire. Look at verse 58. When thou goest with thine adversary, with your enemy, walking down the road, when thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, we're going to the judge, going to the judge. I hate you, right? So you're going to the judge with your adversary. He says, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him. What he says is this: hey, you're going to the judge. You ought to do everything you can to reconcile and make things right. That's what he's saying. You're on the way to the magistrate. You're on the way to the judge. Do everything you can to get right with the judge, because, he says, look at this. Just make sure you follow what I'm saying. When thou goest, verse 58, with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, as you're on your way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. Jesus says, I tell thee that thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite, the smallest coin known to man, the mite. I'm going to show you just a few verses. It's this, because there's so much just false stuff going around. The Bible says this, Hebrews 9:27, as is appointed the man wants to die, but after this the judgment. I want you to tell you, when we die, there is no chance for reconciliation. The judgment comes. The time for reconciliation is now. We are on our way to see the judge. You know, the wizard, we're off to see the wizard. You're off to see the judge. On your way to the judge, you should do everything you can to make it right. And the only way to make it right is faith in Jesus Christ. And he'll light that fire, and you'll see the fire lit in your life. I want to show you the permanency of hell, 1 Thessalonians. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. It's knowing him in a personal way, not just knowledge, that know not God and obey not the gospel. You haven't obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. That's during the tribulation, but I want you to know this. The Bible message is this. There is no relief if you die in your sins. If you're saved, there'll be a fire lit in this old heart. If you die lost, if you die in your sins, you leave God no choice, but he must condemn you to eternal fire. That's not God being a meanie. It's what is required. Let me just talk to the lost. I hope you know, if you're sitting here and you're lost, and I care for you, I love you, and understand this, you cannot be saved by my pressure. It's got to be with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It's got to be with this whole heart that you say, I'm not going one more day without Christ. It's not because you're afraid. It's because you understand how much he loves you. And you say, I'm going to make it right today. I'm going to make it right today. You see, and when you do, there'll be a fire lit. When you do, there'll be division. Trust me, your life will be harder if you surrender to Christ. That's what the Bible says. You will suffer more if you surrender to Christ. You will have greater joy, but suffer more. And the suffering's temporary. See, if you reject Christ, the suffering's eternal. But you will suffer for the cause of Christ because the world is not interested. They love their sin. I beg you, don't walk out today. Most know I don't eat lunch, only because I don't want to preach with having eaten. So I have nothing to do between now and the second service. Ladies, if it's a lady, we'll get you a lady. They'll talk to you. Make this afternoon eternal. And be skeptical. Challenge me with the Scriptures. And we'll search the Scriptures. I want you to see that Christ is the only way. Oh, Christian, you can, in your seat, is the fire burning? 12 men turned the world upside down because the fire was burning, because they saw the resurrected Savior, they saw the crucified Savior, they saw His suffering, and they saw the resurrected Savior. Oh, Christian, have we forgotten what it's all about? It's about Christ. It's about the Lord. It's about Him. And I promise you, I've got to look in the mirror. Where's the fire? Everyone here will face fire in your heart if you've trusted Christ, or for eternity if you die lost.